you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We come to the first great universal assembly of the early church. You've seen churches have national conventions. This is where it all started. The church gets together. The church from every place where it had spread comes to Jerusalem because there is a disagreement among God's people on the nature of salvation. Last week we told you, when you do disagree with people, have a substantive biblical reason for disagreement. We found that Paul has been preaching from 48 to 49 AD, going everywhere, preaching. And it's caused a division in the church. Preaching can cause division. Today in Sunday school, we were dealing with the fact of what should Christians divide over, weren't we? And we find that in the early church, they had a group of people who were called Pharisees in verse 5. Who decided that Paul's preaching was not being biblical. They said, the Pharisees, that all the Gentiles had to be circumcised, the men, and observe the law of Moses. And we left off last week with, what do you want to divide over? Let's talk about that for a little bit. What should churches divide over? Well, let me tell you, first of all, somebody read for me. Willie, read for me Luke 6:26. What did Jesus say in Luke 6:26?
Luke 6:26. Woe to you.
When Jesus says woe, well, what should you do? Listen closely. So there's two extremes in the church. One is where you preach or you teach so that everybody agrees with you. And if that happens, if there is a preacher that has everybody agreeing with them, then Jesus is saying most likely that's because that preacher is not preaching the Word of God. False prophets told the people what they wanted to hear. So if you see a church that's huge, the first thing you ought to ask yourself is that preacher doing his job? Because Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. That's what false prophets do because they want to win a crowd. Now that's on one end. The other end that we're dealing with today are the Pharisees. Now, I want everybody to know who knows our church. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith, the basics. But there comes a point when fundamentalism is not only Bible basics, but a culture that can grow, a very harsh culture. And I've seen this. And it was the fundamentalists here that decided that Gentile Christians had to observe the Mosaic law. Now, we told you how many laws were there under Moses? And 13 mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs, commandments, did Jesus have?
10.
Love. That tells me immediately, as much as this will shock us, Jesus was not a fundamentalist in the sense of fundamentalist culture. I'd like to have a discussion with you. What must a person do to be saved?
All you need is faith, grace.
Okay. Now, there is a psychology behind... I'm going to get myself into trouble, but I always do. There is a psychology behind the culture of fundamentalism that is extremely nitpicky on what a person must do to be a Christian. The Pharisees in those days said, not only do you have to keep all of Moses, but they went further than that, and Jesus really lambasted them, and I want to look at a few of these passages. First, I want to go to Matthew 11. And we're asking ourselves, what is the mentality of fundamentalism? Whether it be Jewish or Christian, there is a mentality, a psychological disposition. Ooh, that got me into trouble with a lot of people. Psychology, Pastor Dave? What is the mental disposition? Jesus said this in Matthew 11. Verses 28 through 30, again showing me that Jesus was not a fundamentalist in the sense of its culture. Why? Look what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Now, why would Jesus tell that? Why would Jesus say he wants everybody that is weary and heavy laden? You think it's because they labored night and day? Worked hard? No, Jesus talked about those things. He's talking here about the fact that the biblicists of his day were fundamentalists. They believed in all of the Old Testament, but they not only believed that, but they added a whole bunch of things to it, and the people were burdened and heavy laden with all that they were taught they must do to what? To be saved. Jesus said, come unto me all you who are heavy and weary. From what? From the preaching of fundamentalists. And what did Jesus promise them? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what does this imply? Jesus is saying he's reacting against the Pharisaical culture of his day. They were the Bible-pounding people, but they had gone well beyond the Bible. And Jesus was saying, come to me and reject the fundamentalism of your day. And of course, what do you mean by that? Pastor Dave, what do you mean by fundamentalism? Well, it's a culture and a belief system that goes far beyond what the Bible teaches. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find what? Well, then, somehow these fundamentalists sure weren't giving rest. What were they giving? Burden. Very good. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So if you come to Jesus, what did Jesus tell you about following him? What's he telling you about following him? He is not a fundamentalist that adds things to the Word of God. You'll find by following Jesus, what will you find? What else? A light. So, what was Jesus' main principle?
Love thy neighbor.
Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus was not in the cult. He did not like this culture of fundamentalism. Who's coming at Paul? In Acts 15. The fundamentalists what fundamentalists do is they add to the Word of God. Let's look at a few of these places. And let's go to Matthew, because this is all Pharisees. These are Pharisees that believed in Jesus several years after this, but nonetheless, it says this. Now some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. And what did I tell you? The closer you got to Jerusalem, the closer you got to what? Fundamentalism. What's another word for fundamentalism? Legalism. We're going to talk about this because we need to discuss. We don't want to be like what Jesus didn't like. And Jesus did not like the Pharisaical fundamentalist culture that burdened people. He was to give people a light yoke, he said. So in chapter 15, the disciples are working for Jesus and they're going through the fields. The Bible said in the Old Testament that people in their growing of crops were to allow the poor and others to glean things from the crops because they needed to eat. It was a social welfare system that the nation was to pursue to allow people who are hungry to have something. Okay, that's good. The Bible always had help the poor. If you're hungry, don't glean the corners of your field. Let the poor have some of it, and God will bless you even more. So, let's go on with this story. Pharisees, though, in verse 2 say, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" Now, what was the tradition of the Bible? If you're hungry and you're needy, what could you do in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and other places? What could you do? You could go into someone's field and eat. So his disciples did that very thing. And so what they did here, what the fundamentalists did here, was added something. It always happens in fundamentalism. What does the Bible say? You can eat if you need. You have a need, you can eat. What do the fundamentalists say? Let's add to that. So the fundamentalists said, well, yeah, that's true, but first you have to wash your hands. Now, did the Bible say anything about washing your hands? As a matter of fact, the Pharisees literally had rules in their oral law of how you were to wash your hands. By the way, you do know, may God help us if that flu hits us, the COVID-19. And I was listening to a doctor explain how you should be washing your hands so as not to get sick. How many of you know? Frequent hand washing is key. You know how doctors wash their hands? It's the running of the water thoroughly and scrubbing your hands thoroughly that will get rid of the germs. But putting the liquid stuff that we all get at Walmart and Target and all of that ain't going to do it. Get your hands clean. Now, that makes sense, but that has nothing to do with what they're talking about here. The Pharisees took the Word of God and they added to it and said, Yeah, the Bible does say you can eat from someone's field, but first, what's more important than following God's word is that you wash your hands according to the tradition of the elders. And they would explain how that had to be done thoroughly. They even had rules about how you wash your plates. Now let's analyze that. What do you think's going on there? What's going on is fundamentalists care more about the rules than they do people. If you start caring more about rules than you do people, guess what you are? You're a fundamentalist.
Fundamentalist,
people who care more about the rules than people have a level of psychopathy. Because that's what psychopaths only care about are themselves and the rules, not about the other person that's suffering. Here you have people that are hungry. The disciples are hungry. They don't have any food. They don't stop at 7-Eleven or Circle K and get a big gulp or whatever. That's what they had. But fundamentalists care more about what? They care more about rules. What did Jesus want his followers to do? Make the burden what? What did the fundamentalists do? Now, we have to be real careful because I think there's a lot of Christian fundamentalists that do this very same thing. And I want to analyze it. Why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? There's another thing. What the fundamentalists, they care more about the rule than people, and guess what? They let their rules violate the Word of God. Do you have a rule? Have you ever tested that rule against the Word? Huh? We go on. For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God, then he is not to honor his father and mother. Now let me tell you about that one. Once again, it'll reinforce exactly what I've just told you. The Bible says you were to take care of your father. First of all, the Bible says leave and cleave. How many of you have heard that when you got married, the preacher says, you got to leave and cleave. Remember that? But that doesn't reduce your obligation to take care of family. There was an obligation in the Old Testament for the kids, no matter how old they got, to take care of their mother and father if they were in need. Well, that presents a problem because you know when people are old, they require a lot of attention, and for sickness, it expends a lot of resources, right? So remember I told you what is the essence of fundamentalism? They are psychopaths who care more about themselves and the rule than they do the person. So here is what happened. The oral law developed what's called the law of Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N, sometimes spelled with a K, in which they could Mickey Mouse. You know what Mickey Mousing is. My dad was a salesman. He knew how to Mickey Mouse. Trust me. One of the finest. They could Mickey Mouse and say this, I'm going to dedicate all of my money that I have to the temple. Give it to the temple. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I know you're sick, but I can't help you. I have no money. It belongs to the temple. And when their mother and father died, guess what? They took it back. Now, what would that tell you? That the Pharisee loved what? Rather than meeting the needs of even their own mother and father. Now that's another thing I don't like about fundamentalists. They have a coldness in them and they don't seem to realize that there are people in need. And we need to address that. Instead, it was all for themselves. And narcissism and psychopathy are all involved. You ever You know what a narcissist is? That's a fancy term. What's a narcissist?
Love oneself.
Yeah. Well, if you care more about rules and you don't care about the suffering of your mother and father, what do you call that? And yet, look who's judging Jesus. Jesus is following the word of God. Go ahead, boys, eat. But what did the fundamentalists want to get him on? Did they care about the starving of the people or the disciples? No, they cared about what?
Rules.
You see, that's why I can't be a fundamentalist. Jesus was not one. Jesus cared for people. And when certain rules were violated, Jesus said, forget the rules, help people. And you hypocrites, Jesus called them in verse 7 of Matthew 15. He also brought up the fact to them that remember when David was running from Saul, he was given the table bread which shouldn't have gone to David and his men. Why? Because the table bread was for the what? For the priests to eat. But David was given the table bread by the priest. Why? Because his men were what? So there, that priest, whoever he was not a fundamentalist because he met the needs of people. Listen to me, if you care more about your rules than you do people, there's something wrong. What are your rules, your oral law that you have? Here's another one. Jesus said this, which really should shock some of us. In Matthew 23, Jesus is hitting the Pharisees. And he says something that shocks them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, 23:23. Hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. Now, what do you mean, Jesus? You tithe mint, dill, and cumin. These were small little seeds, and the Pharisees, being obsessive compulsive, knew how to divide it up into 10%, the minutia. They could divide up into 10%. Mint, cumin, and dill were small little seeds, and the Pharisees, being obsessive compulsive, would sit there and make sure that they had exactly the 10%. Of these small little things. I could never make an accountant. Good luck. But look what it says. And yet you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Did you know that the law, Jesus said, had heavier provisions? That not all commandments, all 613 mitzvahs, were equal in importance? What do fundamentalists do? They see every little stinking rule that they've made as equal in importance and regardless of people, and they put the burden on people. And Jesus said it's our duty to put a light, relieve the burden. You neglect the weightier provisions of the law. So Jesus, what are the weightier provisions of the law? You mean lobster and what we eat and drink ain't as important as other things? Yep. Look what he said. Here are the weightier provisions. Justice. Do you know what Jesus means by justice here in the context? Do what is right. Justice is supposed to be what? Good luck with that in today's country. If you're wealthy and have plenty of money, do you think justice you're going to get? No. The poor always suffer because they have to take the appointed attorney who's learning against the wealthy that can have the finest of attorneys. There was one guy that I learned, he spent 40 years in jail for a murder. He kept saying, oh, I didn't commit it. And I know what fundamentalists would have said. Oh, sure, you all say that. But guess what happened? The DNA found out, guess what? He didn't. You know what? You know what attorneys want to do? Forgive me for all the attorneys, but what's the goal of being an attorney? Begins with a W. Huh? Win. Because you're measured by that. Who cares about justice when... And that guy went to jail for 35 years, was innocent. Thank God for DNA. It'll also convict. But here is what Jesus said. Do what's right to people. That's weightier. Oh no, Pastor David, we don't go to movies, we don't smoke, we don't chew, and we don't associate with those who do. That's not... That's. If you like those kind of rules, the Bible would call you a burdener who is what? Psychopathic. You care more about your rules than you do what?
People.
Then Jesus said, the weightier thing is not only do what's right, but be what? Merciful. You want to know what God puts a heavier weight on? Being merciful to people. Are you merciful? Jesus said something that scares me. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. So, how are your rules when you see people? Are you judgmental, condemning, harsh, censorious of others? Okay, Jesus said, I'll take those same rules on the day you appear before me, and I'll judge you just like you judged others. That worries me. So I have no rules anymore. I try to be... We all have to accept each other where we're at. And be merciful. And loving. And Jesus said the weightier thing is that you have mercy on people. That's hard to do sometimes when you're offended, isn't it? But guess what? That would tell me that fundamentalism isn't what? Come on. If Jesus said to these fundamentalists, you don't do what's right, what do fundamentalists usually not do? What is right? What do fundamentalists usually not have as an operating principle? Are you ready? Mercy. Isn't that true? Have you ever been in fundamentalist churches before? Come on. That's the thing I'll take away after 35 years of marriage. Most fundamentalist churches that I have been associated with or around, they completely lack mercy. They love the rules. Oh, I'm really meddling this morning. I know it. But they love the rules. They don't care about people. It's our rules you'll keep. Jesus said the way to your provisions was mercy. Then what did he say? Faithfulness. A steadfastness of honoring the Lord. So, what are we dealing with in fundamentalism? Well, it goes beyond what you think or what you should believe. It goes to a system of rules, and the rules in fundamentalism often matter more than the people. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, my burden is light, because he saw what religious people who were Bible thumping did in his day. So we go back to Acts 15. First of all, it tells me that Paul's preaching was pretty right on. Why? Because Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, because anybody that appeals and has the whole crowd is like the false prophets of old. So first of all, I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I reject its culture. But as a Bible-believing person, we have to hold to the Word of God. But listen to me. That doesn't mean we put the rules above the needs of people in doing so. Not everybody knows the Word of God like they should, and we need to be compassionate and merciful. But here it is in chapter 15, once again, Paul's preached, they haven't spoke well of him, the Pharisees care more about what, did I tell you, and here it is, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be what? So what do they care more about than the people? Every stinking time I've been around fundamentalist churches, that's it. Here's our rules. And if you don't follow them, we're going to church discipline you. What did Jesus say? When people come to his true followers, they were to lighten the burden. So Paul and Barnabas go up. And in chapter verse 5 of chapter 15, they really add on to the weight. You got to be circumcised and to observe what? There is another hint. What do they care about more than doing? Not only the 613 mitzvahs, but probably all the oral law of these Pharisees. And here's another thing about fundamentalism we're about to get in. So I make sure I say this. Fundamentalism is loaded with, are you ready, begins with an H. Thank you. Hypocrites. Because they know, Paul's about the, these guys are, the apostles had a balance. They are about to get, these Pharisees know one thing for sure. You know what fundamentalists know deep down for sure? They don't keep the rules like they want everybody else to. How many have ever heard of Saul Alinsky? Rules for Radicals. I got the book. Many of our politicians follow Saul's. And he said this. Always accuse your opponent of something that you're guilty of. Now what did we see about the Pharisees when Jesus was around? They threw the rules at everybody, but Jesus called them what? Begins with an H. What's a hypocrite? You say one thing and you what? That's another thing. Not only are they rule-oriented, they don't care about people, but they preach it, and most likely, they don't what? They don't live it. I don't want to be like that. So they have to come together dealing with fundamentalists. By the way, what are the essentials that you would have for your Christian life? Ever thought about that? You're gonna start your own little group. What would you write up to be your doctrinal statement? What would it be? What would you put in your doctrinal statement? These are the essentials. Number one, I hope there would be no rules of culture. Here is what fundamentalists would say. If you want to come to church, I was told by a church where I preached that unless the preacher wore a tie, he couldn't be in the pulpit. Unless you use the King James, you cannot be in the pulpit. Give me chapter and verse. So what did they care? Look, fundamentalism is fundamentalism. What do they care more about? Here, when you tell a preacher can't be in the pulpit because he doesn't wear a tie, you're saying that how you look is more important than what? There you go. Doesn't matter. It's always this way with these fundamentalist groups. Now, I believe in what we would call the fundamentals of the faith, but boy, is that a large begging question. What are your fundamentals? That sounds rather simplistic, Wanda.
Yeah, we need
I really think that needs a lot more sophistication than that. What are your fundamentals, everybody? The first thing you ought to look for in a fundamental is it's an essential anchor principle of God's Word. In the New Testament, the New Covenant. And you can
immediately lighten someone's burden by doing so.
So they've got to solve this. But this is a very essential question. What must you do to be saved? Okay, everybody? What must you do to be saved? What must you do to keep saved? What teachings of Jesus must you follow? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? What are your fundamentals? How about we only sing hymns in our congregation? I've been around fundamentalist. I know of fundamentalist churches that think that singing hymns is the only expression of worship. By the way, do you know Amazing Grace? How many ever heard Amazing Grace? Do you know where they got that tune from? It was a bar hymn. So here now, we forget the history and then we say, I only want hymns like Amazing Grace, and then we don't realize that it was a bar hymn. An English bar hymn. There you go. I want to make us aware, because I want us, when we do have a disagreement at church, that it would be something that we're very sensitive, that we're not using some fundamentalist oral, we don't care about people, we care more for the rules, and we want to lighten people's burden. That's what Jesus was about. So they get together in verse 6, and the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. First of all, what would fundamentalists do? There is no discussion. We're right. And that's the way I've seen it. And I've been with those groups. Don't question me. How many have ever been to a church where you dare not question? Well, the early church was such that they decided we have to have a dialogue to find out if we believe the way we should, and is that the correct way to believe? Why do we believe what we should, and is it the correct way? And the moment you start asking why, what happens? You get in trouble. So the first thing we have to do is, like the early church, willing to discuss these issues. And elders have to be patient enough to allow the discussion and not shut people down. And if you do as a church shut people down, then you care more about what than what? You care more about your rules than you do what? People. And after there had been much debate, what do you think that involved? I believe there were people that really got emotionally charged. Much debate. So the first thing we have to do in deciding the fundamentals of the faith, allow for debate and disagreement. Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, and my guess was it took him quite a while to calm the crowd maybe down. Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So what seems to be the issue also here? Who are the chosen people of God? And Peter said a dirty little word to the fundamentalists. What's that? Gentiles. And he knows what Jesus told him, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." So here is Peter going to challenge the fundamentalist thinking. Now listen to me, gentlemen. You know that God, through me, opened up the Word of God to those dirty, stinking what? Okay. Then what is the issue among the early church? Begins with an R. Racism. I do know that in the... I better be careful. I get so controversial on this. I do know that there were many churches that would hold a Sunday morning altar call and be doing things on Sunday evening that were very racist. And so here we have a problem among fundamentalism, is that it's trying to deal with the issue of race. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit. What? Just as He also did us. So who discriminates? Who said that? Thank you, Debbie. Not God. Who discriminates? Who discriminates? Fundamentalists. And the Bible says if you really believe in the fundamentals of the faith, you should welcome only certain people. No, everyone. God gave them the Holy Spirit just as He also did us. So God sees every person that comes to Him having full what? Full. They get full equality on this. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their heart by what? So what should be a cardinal doctrine of true fundamentalism? It's not your outside, it's your. And you come to Jesus on one principle alone, and what is that? Lord, I trust You for what You did. Now, the preacher must wear a tie and a suit in the pulpit and use only the King James because we've added those rules to faith. No. Look what he says, and I got to conclude. Look what he says in verse 10, which is the clincher. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of His disciples a what? Where did you see the yoke? Where did you see the yoke? We just went through it. Where did you see that word? Who talked about, take my what upon you? So if you're really a true Christian, your doctrine should be one that lightens the burden. Not makes it harder. Otherwise, you care more about the what? The rules than you do people. Don't put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. So listen to me. When fundamentalist groups add and make that faith plus yoke more, what are they doing? They're putting whom to what? They're putting God to the test. You better be very careful what you add to the grace of God. It is childlike faith. Come unto me. My yoke is light. And I have seen this now that I look back at 29 and having 35 plus years of looking at the groups that I've seen that pound the Bible. I know one thing. They care more about the rules than people. And they make the yoke much more greater than Jesus did. And they care more about the peripheral issues than they do the essentials of the faith. You say, wait a second, Pastor Dave. That's not all of them. Okay. I'll say it's most of them. I don't know of an exception, but maybe you've come across it. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke that nobody could keep? Wow, what an admission by Peter! The Old Testament law is a what? A what? A yoke. Woo! Peter, you're going to get yourself stoned. See, in light of the new covenant, which lightens people's burden, what is the old covenant compared to? A yoke.